Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1? Looking at the first five verses. All right. Talking about clearing paths today. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Mark writes this. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will do what? Prepare your way. A voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning to prepare our hearts this Lenten Easter season. And Lord, we pray that you would help each and every one of us clear a path in our lives for you, Jesus, whatever that may look like. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the life and the example of John the Baptist, the man who prepared the way for Jesus. And we, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying amen. So last Wednesday was unusual, very unusual, in that it was both St. Valentine's Day as well as Ash Wednesday. We've been trying to do a little bit of an Ash Wednesday service, but I knew if I got in the way of Valentine's Day, there could be a riot, right? Ash Wednesday really begins the Lenten season, right? Traditionally, this is what it's called. So again, Lent is the 40 days plus 6 Sundays before Easter, when we as the followers of Jesus, we take time to spiritually prepare ourselves and to recommit our lives to the Lord. Lent is a season of repentance. It's a time when traditionally people begin to fast, pray, and give to those in need. For some of us, it's a time of stepping away from something that has maybe taken too big of a hold in our lives. Sometimes for people, it's a time to add something, daily times of prayer and Bible reading. Again, Lent is a kind of season of preparation. It's a time to clear a path for more of God in our lives. That's the big idea for this morning. Now, I thought about it this week, and we are a nation of people who love to clear paths. You thought about that? Right? We've been doing it since the time of the pilgrims, clearing paths to move from one place to another, from one settlement to another, you could say. And throughout the history of our nation as well, Indian tribes have been doing that since time immemorial as well. Did you know that a number of our current interstate highways actually started as Indian paths? That's the tip of the iceberg there with the interstate. But for example, one of the longer ones, I-94, which I guess it's not there, it starts in Detroit, Michigan, goes all the way to Montana. It was originally started as an Indian path. So a little Baco bit of trivia for you, how important paths and roads are in life. Did you know that in 1956, the U.S. Congress approved the long name of this is the Dwight D. Eisenhower National System of Interstate and Defense Highways, also known as the Interstate Highway System. Now, it would take 35 years to complete this system, and it was actually only finished in 1992, and we've been repairing the roads ever since, if you haven't noticed. But beyond that, it cost, in 1992, the total cost was $114 billion. In today's economy, that would be $600 billion to do this system. It was considered so important, and it has turned out that way. So today, on any given day, 25% of all Americans are traveling on the major interstate system, and then we have our local roads and that kind of thing as well. So now this system crisscrosses our country north and south, coast to coast. It was a hugely strategic move by our country. Total of 50,000 miles of roads were purposely constructed for greater safety, defense, and economic purposes. And so the idea for this morning is, as we enter into this special season of Lent, I'd like to encourage you, be praying about clearing a path for God in your life, right? Clearing a road, so to speak. And that was exactly the purpose of the life and ministry of Jesus's rather famous cousin, John the Baptist, right? If you remember back to Advent, Christmas season, remember we looked at the songs of Luke? And one of the songs was by John's father, Zechariah. He sang this. This is one of the verses. He said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to do what? Prepare the way for him." While the Gospel of Mark speaks of John's ministry as fulfilling the words of the prophet Isaiah, right, saying, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." A voice calling into the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so how did John the Baptist clear a path for Jesus? Well, in our little passage this morning, you'll notice Mark tells us that John preached a baptism of repentance. And so as a result, big crowds were coming in from Jerusalem and the countryside, meeting him in the wilderness to confess their sins, to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now, if we look at the prophet John, his lifestyle, his diet, even his attire was not only simple, but it was intentionally humble, right? Mark tells us that his clothes were rough camel hair and a simple leather belt, which was exactly the same kind of clothing that many of the prophets before John wore, including the prophet Elijah. And interestingly enough, we probably noticed most prominently his desert diet, right? Wild honey, okay, that's all right, and locust for protein. Have you noticed nobody says meat anymore? It's like you go to a restaurant, I'm like, they don't say, "What meat do you want? What protein would you like? Copious amounts of meat, please." "Well, which kind?" Well, whatever, just not locusts, right? Bako bit of trivia, you may be thinking, wait a minute, locusts are bugs. Yeah, well, here we go. In the grasshopper family, and according to, you know, the old Jewish kosher dietary laws, aren't bugs supposed to be unclean? Well, most bugs were considered unclean by the law of Moses, but here's a verse for you. Right, Leviticus 11, 21 and following says this: "All flying insects that walk on all fours are regarded as unclean by you. However, some flying insects that walk on all fours you may eat," or not. "Those that have jointed legs for hopping on the ground, of these you can eat any kind of locust, katydid, cricket, or grasshopper." Wow. Amen. Amen. Right? "All other flying insects, four legs, you're to regard as unclean." So just FYI, just so you know, you are free to eat and enjoy a nice juicy bowl of locusts. I have known Koreans who freeze dry them and they eat them as crunchy snack food. Like, "I'll just go with the chips, please." Yeah, I know. Now, this is what I'm told by them. You're like, "Why are you telling me this?" You got to be sure to remove the back legs, evidently. This is what I'm told. I don't have experience in this because they tend to get lodged in your throat, I'm told. So the Koreans tell me. Anyway, that's John's choice of protein. Maybe we consider it gross today. I guess they're pretty nutritious. What was John called to do from before his very birth? To clear a path for the Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare a way for the Messiah himself. John makes this very clear as well at the end of verses 7 and 8. He said, "Jesus who came after him was greater than him, and that John was simply to clear the path to build the road." Right? Jesus would be the one to walk in that prepared path. He was greater than John. This is interesting. John said he wasn't even worthy to untie the laces of Jesus' sandals. What he's saying there is he didn't deserve this privilege because only the lowest of slaves would take off sandals and wash feet. We talked about that in adult ed today. John's saying, I'm not even worthy of taking off Jesus' sandals, right? And then John ends prophetically, verse 8, "I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with what?" The Holy Spirit, exactly. So John reminds us, John the Baptist reminds us on this first Sunday of the Lenten season that we also need to clear a path, right, for the Lord Jesus. We need to prepare the way for the Savior that he might have greater access in our lives, right? That's what really Lent is about. Now, obviously, and again, we touched on this in adult ed. I so encourage you to come. We have a hoot in that time, an hour before church. The problem is that for many of us is that our lives are absolutely filled with clutter as Americans. So much clutter that we don't even, I think, sometimes even realize it. The problem is that we get used to clutter, and then we, after a while, we even kind of like it. We feel better. Some people, when they clean out their house, they feel uncomfortable, like, I don't know what to do. Maybe I need to fill it up again, you know? That's kind of a problem, and that's really what Lent is sort of really about. Lent is a time of repentance and preparation, where we, in obedience to the Lord, clear out paths and roadways in our lives so that Jesus may have greater access. He may have greater reign. So this is the question for the day. How are you going to clear a path in your life for the Lord Jesus this Lenten season before Easter? We mentioned this earlier. Have you ever noticed everybody's into Easter, but nobody wants to go through Good Friday? That's no fun, right? You know, Jesus gets crucified. And have you ever noticed that the world can't market Good Friday? It's just so sad, you know? How can I sell stuff on that day? Still, maybe they'll come up with something. I don't know. How are you going to clear a path in your life for the Lord Jesus? So in light of this idea of path clearing or road building, right? Again, reminded that as Americans, we have the bad habit of accumulating things. You ever hear the old-fashioned idea of spring cleaning? Anybody still spring clean, you know, cleaning out stuff? Some of you are like, yeah, oh yeah, spring cleaning. There's a reason for that. That's really a metaphor for Lent, I think. Did a little research this week into the frightening mental illness that's traditionally called Plyushkin's disorder. You know Plyushkin's disorder? Yeah, it's just a fancy word for hoarding. And how can hoarding, oh man, look at that. The mental disorder, oh my, Norma's having a fit. I gotta clean this thing. It's defined this way, the persistent difficulty in parting with possessions and engaging in excessive acquisition of items that are not needed or for which there is no space available. Anybody convicted? I mean, I don't know. You know, accumulated items, I YouTubed this week. I think I made it through two short ones before I just sort of got the eebie-jeebies on this. Accumulated items can attract vermin, block fire exits, and increase risk of injury. And there's a colloquial phrase in Japan, evidently, I thought this is hilarious. They called hoarders' homes, and I quote, garbage mansions. Garbage mansions. Like, okay, Japanese come up with some funny stuff. Not so surprising that people who struggle with Plyushkin's or hoarding disorder often also struggle with depression, anxiety, and obsessive compulsive disorders, right? One thing leads to another. Yeah, researchers and therapists have discovered that hoarding is often a symptom of deeper, uncured, earlier traumatic experiences. Any of you remember loved ones who grew up in the Depression? Oh man, that was traumatic for people. And so they would start to hoard little weird things, right? You probably have stories, right? Remember how some of the old guys would, like, you know, wad up cash and put them in coffee cans and bury them in the back 40? That happened to Deb's family. When her grandfather died, guess what they did after the funeral? Isn't that awful? Oh. They're all digging up his backyard. He was so good that nobody found no cans of cash, not even his wife. That's a form of it. I had a great aunt who used to collect twist ties. It's hard to find twist ties anymore. They got the little clips and stuff now. She had bags and bags of twist ties, and you probably have stories too. That's a that's a kind of a manifestation of hoarding. But then you've got the whole house of stuff. That's really serious. Therapists say this, for healing to take place, therapists have to understand the specifics of a person's hoarding severity and style, and then devise a treatment plan that is individually tailored to that person, right? One size doesn't fit all, right? That's part of the point of this morning too. Devised like particular system. And what's interesting is, you know, years ago in the West, doctors did house calls. For Plyushkin's disorder, hoarding disorder, therapists often need to make home visits, right? To understand the severity of this situation and how to help. And so as I thought about it, I had to ask myself this question this week. How is this any different in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ?
Well, I'm not a hoarder.
Can I ask some questions? You can probably ask me some questions too, right? John the Baptist cleared a path for Jesus. So what do you and what do I need to do to clear a path for Jesus this Lent? What would that look like for you? That Jesus can heal our deepest pains, our traumas, that sort of thing. That he can free us from the grasping and accumulating that so often characterize our lives as well. We just fill our lives with stuff. It can look different for different ones, I know. Could it be then that Jesus in this Lenten season wants to heal you from hoarding in one way or another? Well, I keep my house clean. Really? How about your heart? How about your mind? How about your relationships? What would that look like for you? Kind of like the time. When a man was driving recklessly on the highway, right? A cop saw him, immediately pulled him over, knowing something was very wrong. The officer wanted to check. I don't know if you can do this, but he said he asked the man for a urine sample. Can you do that? I can't do that, said the man. I'm diabetic and my blood sugar will get too low. Okay. The officer wanted to check again, so he said, blow into this breathalyzer. To which the man replied, I can't do that. I'm asthmatic. If I do that, I won't be able to breathe. Then the officer asked the man to recite his ABCs backwards, to which the man cleverly replied, I can't do that since I don't know how to read and write. Finally, the cop asked the man to walk that straight white line, and that's when the man outed himself, because people always out themselves, right? When he replied, I can't do that either, and the cop asked why, and he said, well, I'm drunk. Part of the point of Lent is to get spiritually sober, amen? That's the point of this kind of thing. People have all kinds of excuses when it comes time to clearing a path for the Lord in their lives. But here's the common denominator, seems to be this, the accumulation of stuff in our own lives. It could be physical, it could be other things. Again, the whole point of Lent is this, is it's a time of repentance. It's a time to take an honest look at our lives to see what may be blocking the path or the way of the Lord. And that's why I think it's a really good idea to prayerfully consider your own life, tailor making some Lenten practices that will clear a path for the Lord for you as you move towards Easter. Now, traditionally in Lent, if you come from a more traditional background, Lent primarily focuses on three things. I mean, there can be others, but three things, these all affect our lives in one way or another. The first thing it focuses on, and we're going to be looking at these in the days ahead, what I call the lost Christian discipline, fasting, time-honored discipline. It will clear a path for healthier choices. It could be abstaining from certain foods. You probably know Catholics that do this, you know, no meat, you know, or fish Fridays or whatever. And sometimes that seems like, okay, whatever. But I mean, there's a point to some of this stuff. When I was professor at Catholic schools in Chicago, it was almost always a, you know, thing that happened. It's like the women would be like, I'm fasting from chocolate. You ever heard this one? Fasting from chocolate, okay. And the guys, it was almost invariably beer, right? I'm fasting from beer for Lent. I'm like, okay, all right. But it could be any number of things for you as you pray about that. Alms, second one. We like to call that radical giving around here, right? That will clear a path from the deadly sins of greed and avarice in our lives. And that could be physical as well as spiritual hoarding as well. And then finally, the third major theme, usually traditionally associated with Lent, is prayer, such a vital practice in our lives. That will clear a path away from our own narrow and selfish interests. When you start praying, you know, you've got to take a bigger picture. It's not just about you. You're praying for other people and for God's will, and Lord, clear a path in my life. Prayer is like breathing. I mean, if you don't pray, you're at best a spiritual asthmatic. You ever see people like trying to breathe? It's awful. You know what the Romans of Jesus' day called asthma? You know what the nickname for asthma was? Practicing death. I'm practicing death. That's fun. But if prayer is not a part of your life, you are spiritually asthmatic, right? What would these things look like? Fasting from something. It could be anything in your life. Clearing a path for the Lord. Radical giving, especially for those who are poor and struggling this Lenten season. One of the things I'm going to do is, I was kind of inspired by Barry some weeks ago. Every time I go to the grocery store during Lent, I will buy extra non-perishables for Haven House. I'm going to put them back there. People are hungry. There's a lot of single moms. I'm sitting there looking over, you know, my food and whatever. Why can't I help someone else in Jesus' name? That's just one of the things I'm going to be doing. Maybe it's an idea for you too, among other things, right? I'm going to be talking about these sort of things throughout the Lenten season, kind of focusing on them. Again, Lent, part of the point is to bring sanity back into our lives and our homes. We get so focused on our small stories, I think, that we become oblivious to the truth that's all around us each and every day. We get so focused that we think it's everybody else and not us, right? Kind of like the time. When an elderly man was driving down the highway and his phone rang, his wife was clearly upset, urgently warning the older gentleman, saying, "Honey, I just heard on the news there is some lunatic in a car going the wrong way on the highway. Please be very, very careful." To which the elderly man replied, "Oh, honey, it's so much worse than you think." And what the news said, "There are hundreds and hundreds of cars going the wrong way. Only I'm going the right way." Lent is really useful spiritually. I'm, you know, all these crazy people all around me. Maybe you're crazy. How about that? All I got to do is talk to your spouse. I hate this church. Or to put it in a musical analogy, these guys are musicians, with a little help from AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, there is a highway to hell, people, but only a stairway to heaven. And that should tell you a lot about expected travel conditions in the future. I thought it was good, Gary.
Yeah,
thanks. And musicians, like, what is he talking about, Lent? Anyway, remember, Lent is a season when we as Christians are invited by the Lord to clear a path for him in our lives. John the Baptist, he was the path clearer himself, said in John 3:30 regarding the priority of Jesus in his life, and I hope you remember this. He, Jesus, must become greater, and I must become less. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this Lenten season, this season to just really focus on the things of you in a new and a fresh way, to recommit our lives, to prepare our hearts for Easter, to repent from things we need to repent. And that you would have greater access in our lives. Help us to clear a path, to create a road, whatever that may look like for us as individuals. We pray that you would speak to our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit, and we give you thanks and praise in the name of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, saying, amen. Amen.